Time now for the worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church here on AM 1380 WPHM, Port Huron.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, this is the last Sunday I can do it until next year. So you ready? Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Amen. Yes, seventh Sunday of Easter. Next Sunday we come together, we celebrate the 40th day after the resurrection, the coming of the Holy Spirit as the Lord Jesus had promised last week's gospel, but throughout the lessons of the Easter season, those 7 weeks, he will send a paraclete, a helper, a companion to go with us in our journey in life as he departed from us. And as I was teasing some of us who are here early in the sanctuary, I said, you didn't feel any rumbles on Thursday, I suspect. There was no great party or parades in the city streets, but that was Ascension Thursday. It goes right past everybody, but 20 minutes ago, before you walked in here, look at the Ascension window. It is glorious back there. And 20 minutes ago, it was just getting bright as the sun and the horizon were kissing each other and rising higher as that huge window became illuminated. It was just gorgeous. What a gift of God we have here in that stained glass window. And again, just a reminder, remember the front is the resurrection window. This is the ascension window. So we are placed between the two points, those 7 weeks of Easter, okay? Okay, this day we celebrate Eucharist. Next Sunday, being Pentecost, we also celebrate Eucharist for the birthday of the Christian Church. So we will be celebrating as God's resurrected and sent, S-E-N-T, people. We welcome you to this day. Welcome back, especially Don and Bev Chittister, who have returned from Florida. They're behind you there, Kate Price, if you saw them. It's legal to turn around. I know, in Lutheran churches, Roman Catholic churches, you better sit stationary. We glued you that way. And don't you dare move. That's bad manners. That's not true. I always thought as a kid growing up, parents would always choose for their kids to sit in the back. My wife and I agreed. She would always sit in the front. Because how can children participate and not get bored or antsy if all they see are hair roots of somebody else? See in the back of their heads. They gotta be up closer to the action. So, where things happen. So, we welcome you this day. For those on radio, WPHM, we greet you from our Savior in Port Huron, Michigan. And we are ready to begin our service. And we thank that we have Jeremy Jones. Next few weeks, we're going to have Lori Carrier back with us. So if you'll please rise, this is the last of the Sundays where we give thanks for our baptism, though every day we should give thanks for our baptism. As I pour the water into the baptismal font. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the fountain of living water, the rock who gave us birth, our life, and our salvation. Amen. Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are clothed with God's mercy and God's forgiveness. Let us give thanks for the gift of holy baptism. We do give you thanks, O God, O living one, for you have created all. You water the earth abundantly, oceans and aquifers. Praise you, rivers and streams bless you. We thank you for Lake Huron and all the great lakes, for the St. Clair River, for the Black River, St. and all the rivers and contributaries and all the waterways of the state of Michigan and this nation. We praise you, O God. All is sustained by you. You are our source. We praise you for Christ. He was the firstborn of the dead. He frees us from sin. He raises us to a new life. So it's here at this font. We touch the very water and river of water of life, bright as crystal, flowing through the city of God. It's here that death is washed away forever. Here we are grafted into the tree of life, with leaves for the healing of the world. Pour out your Spirit on this assembly, the gathering, into this community, sent out through all creation. Cleanse us from our fears, drown our divisions. Grant that all may drink of your mercy and peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. God at the margins, we have wandered far from your home. Again and again, we lose our way. We turn inward, afraid of the world around us. We forget that you have saved your people before and promised to do so again. Do not remember the deeds of our past, but turn our faces toward the future, where your forgiveness is sure, your welcome is clear, and your love overflows. Amen. And we sing our entrance hymn, Thine the Amen. Page 3, we sing. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Our hymn of praise this day is a short ditty. We've done it in Vacation Bible School in many contexts. It's really cute. It can be sung as a round. We won't do that to you today, but we'll do it another time. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. It sounds so different than what we would do in Vacation Bible School. Somehow the organ does not do justice, and it's not your fault, Jeremy. We would sit in a round on the floor in chairs downstairs, and we'd sing the portions, praise ye the Lord, and we'd let either gals or guys, one would take one section, one take the other, and then we all stood at the end, praise ye the Lord, and this place would rock. We'll get it again. It's old, but it'll come new again. So we're on page 5. The Lord be with you.
And also with
you. You join me in the prayer for the day, we pray. O God, form the minds of your faithful people into your one will. Make us love what you command and desire what you promise, that amid all the changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed with true joy as found. Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. If you'll please be seated, we have the reading. First one, Marcia leads us.
The owners of a slave girl who used her powers to tell fortunes threw Paul and Silas into jail for healing her and consequently ruining their business. In prison, Paul and Silas bring the good news of the gospel to the jailer and his family. The first reading comes from the book of Acts, chapter 16, verses 16 through 34. One day, as we were going to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit and bought her owners a great deal of money by fortune telling. While she followed Paul and us, she would cry out, "These men are slaves of the Most High God, who proclaim to you a way of salvation." She kept doing this for many days, but Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, "I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out of her that very hour. But when her owner saw that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. When they had brought them before the magistrates, they said, "These men are disturbing our city. They are Jews and are advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to adopt or observe." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates had them stripped of their clothing and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had given them a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them securely. Following these instructions, he put them in the innermost cell and fastened their feet into the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was an earthquake, so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, since he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." The jailer called for lights, and rushing in, he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. At the same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds. Then he and his entire family were baptized without delay. He brought them up into the house and set food before them, and he and his entire household rejoiced that he had become a believer in God. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Marcia. Second reading, Kathy. Continuation of what we've been doing these previous six plus today's readings in the book of Revelation.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The ascended Christ, hidden from our sight, promises to come again. We eagerly pray, "Come, Lord Jesus," with all who respond to this invitation. The second reading comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 22, verses 12 to 14, 16, 17, and 20 and 21. "See, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, to repay according to everyone's work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they will have the right to the tree of life and may enter the city by the gates. It is I, Jesus, who sent my angel to you with this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come,' and let everyone who hears say, 'Come,' and let everyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who wishes take the water of life as a gift. The one who testifies to these things says, 'Surely I am coming soon.' Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all of the saints. Amen." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Kathy. If you're able to stand, we rise for the gospel acclamation. We speak together. Alleluia. "I will not leave you orphans, says the Lord. I am coming to you." Alleluia. From John the 17th chapter, beginning with verse 20. "Glory to you, O Lord." This is part of the high priestly prayer. It's called of Jesus. He's praying for you. He's praying for me. "I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word and testimony, that they may be one. As you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one. I and them, you and me, that they may become completely one, so that the world will know that you have sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. Father, I desire those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, that to see my glory, which you have given me because you love me before the very foundations of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known so that the love which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, God's grace, God's mercy, and God's peace be with us this day. Amen. Friend on radio, WPHM, or podcast later for your schedule, God's grace and peace to you from our Savior, both literally and the name of a congregation from our Savior. We walk through the lessons so that they become understandable portions of God's teachings to us, the church. Sermon outline there is with the theme, as you might see inside back cover. There's dealing with tough resistance. There's an invitation extended to all to continue in the journey. And it'll be God's love, which will not only fill our journey and ourselves, but that it will come through us to other people. Okay, there's a continuity of the themes. From the Acts account, page 5, talks about a gal. You may not know first century customs, but we know in reconstruction of her life in the pagan world, particularly as they were very much, conscious of spiritual things, but not of Christian things. It's kind of like today in pagan America. Some of the TV programs that have been on the channels for decades about the medium from Manhattan. How many people have watched that? Contacting dead spirits through this gal, and people are fascinated. And anytime she sets up shop, kind of like figuratively a tent, she gets throngs of people who want to know what goes on behind the curtain of death. Oh, give me a break. This is what this girl's doing in the text here. She's what we would call in their world a diviner, one who would say things as if it was God speaking through the dead. Okay? Please understand, nowhere in Scripture is that ever approved of. On the contrary, it was always condemned under punishment of death. If anybody should do these things, the old Levitical code, then you have the right to put them to death. That'd clear the herd. But indeed, we in our liberality, we just say, hey, let them go, different strokes, different folk. That's true. But understand the tolerance was not there. This gal is not by her choice, I'm sure, but she's caught into a circle of illegality and also of probably against her will. Kind of like when you get kidnapped and you do things for those who own your body. And she has to continue divining so she can collect money from those who own her, right? It's a different form of prostitution. So she comes up and she identifies the disciples, who's Paul and Silas. Now, when you hear the phrase there, verse 17, bottom page 5, if you are following the text, she followed Paul and us. You may say to yourself, who's the us? Just remember the book of Acts is written by Luke. So it was Silas and Luke who were being tailed with Paul by this gal. She knows from the spirit within her that this is the holy God represented with Paul. So what do you have to do with me? Get away from me. She was doing this for many days, and good old Paul, being tolerant to a point, finally is annoyed up to here. And he says, get away from me. And then he addresses the spirit within the gal. And he says, I order you, in the name of Jesus Christ, to come out of her. And it came out of her that hour. Now, for those who are science-oriented Christians, you'll say to yourself, well, that's a weird passage. If you understand the whole of the scripture, ways in which we're embattled with spiritual warfare, and the understanding and increasing teachings in the scriptures about demonology. Now, if you and I were Pentecostals, we would understand the teachings about demons. But being Lutherans in mainstream churches, we don't talk about that stuff. We say in terms of, well, they had a psychological problem. Some of the time, that's true. Not all the time. Remember, they come down after the Mount of Transfiguration. They see this father comes up to him and says, Jesus, would you heal my son? Your disciples down here before you went up to the mount, they didn't have the power to do it. And Jesus, he says, oh, you of little faith. And then he says to the spirit within the boy, come out of him. And he does. And the boy stops tremoring and convulsing and throwing himself in the fire. Now, you can walk away from that and say he had epilepsy. Maybe he did. But he was healed by the command of Jesus Christ. God is the healer. He didn't go through 10 years of extensive therapy. He didn't go through surgeries. He was healed right then and there. You explain it. I just accept it. God is the controller of all domains, material, spiritual. God runs it. And then there was the account of the man who was possessed of spirit. And Jesus says to him, and name yourself. Who are you? And they respond by Legion. Because the explanation was there were so many spirits in this man possessed. So Jesus says, come out of that man. And they go into the swine. The swine go into the water and they drown. Remember that? Those are legitimate accounts described for us. Plus, there's many more about possession. Understanding it for modern people may seem strange. If you've been with people who are possessed, it's not a question for you. You know what that's like. How would you describe it? Basically, you're out of control. Somebody else or some other spirit is taking care of your life, and it's not according to God's will. Compulsive behavior, perhaps. Addiction, maybe. Different forms and fashions for different people. So you can't even generalize a doctrine. You have to take every situation individual. But when you're dealing with this power, and believe me, many psychologists sometimes have met the enemy, and in their counseling skills and everything, they didn't think it happened. It does. It really does. And when we understand, and Paul had authority by Christ given to heal this gal, the owners, right, they have a money interest. Hey, what makes this world go round? Money. Not the well-being of this woman, not the representation, false representation of God. It was money. And she threatened their livelihood because they were users, not givers. So they take Paul and Silas into the public, strip them, and then rod them. Do you remember what's it been about 20, 25 years ago? One American was caught in Indonesia. Take you back in memory of the news. And for some reason, he had done something that violated the Islamic law, and he was to be caned, beaten with rods. Americans said, oh, that's barbaric. Of course, the United States can't do anything. So we're a foreign power. This is not our nation over there. We can't impose our values. So that was a big thing in the media back then. But it was a custom back in the first century, too, to do the beating with rods. They're beaten. Then here comes the drama. Yeah. They're put in prison. Their legs are locked down. Okay. They're probably sitting. How else could you get by? Sitting on the ground, probably filthy with human waste, dead food, moldy food, and rats. They're sitting there. And then there's an earthquake. Did any of you get the severe storms yesterday afternoon? Oh, that thunder and the grayness of the sky. It was definitely threatening. But imagine if its source was from under our feet, not from above us. Have you been through minor or major earthquakes, any of you here? I haven't seen major. I've been in minor ones where buildings have swayed, but nothing like California or other places. Well, anyways, this jail is falling apart. And the jailer thought, for sure, I'm going to die because all the people are going to run out. Because if you were a jailer or a soldier, just like the ones who guarded the tomb of Jesus, if anybody escaped, Rome wants your head, so you fall on your sword. And that's what the man was ready to do, take his own life. He thought, these guys aren't dumb enough to stay here. But Paul proved to him they were. They were going to stay there, Paul and Silas. Because they wanted to use this as an opportunity to preach Christ. So the jailer says, hey, anybody in here? And they said, don't worry, don't kill yourself. We are here and we want to talk to you. Okay, I'll listen to you. What is that? And they proceed to tell him the story of Jesus Christ. The man is so moved by the story, but more important, by the act of selflessness. Okay, this is how the church grows, being selfless. Not selfish. They were willing to risk their life to tell the story at great cost if it backfired, but always trusting God. So consequently, they tell him, he says, oh, I want that guy. Not the ones I hear people talking about around the streets here. I want the God you tell me about. And so they said, well, we will baptize you. So they go into his house. How's this? The jailer lets the jailed into his house. He's taking risk because of his faith in Jesus Christ. Here's the other part. You may not know this, but for those who of us who, I don't want to use the word justify, talk about infant baptism as opposed to adult baptism. This is one of many passages the book of Acts gives us of the early church's ministry, that is. Paul proceeded to baptize the jailer and his whole family. Now that phrase is not accidental, because if you noticed in the reading, it's repeated three times. And his whole family. No discrimination of age. Infant, 12-year-old, 26-year-old. Christ welcomes all people into his family. And the entrance place is at the waters of baptism. With that understanding, Paul baptizes the whole family. This God of ours is a God who rocks the boat and shakes us up and maybe even lets us suffer for the sake of the kingdom so that others may be one to Jesus Christ. You go to the second reading. It is from the book of Revelation, continuing for the seventh week. It's where the Lord Jesus is now doing the predominant dialogue here, or monologue. He says, I'm coming soon. My reward is going to be coming with me to repay to everyone's work. Again, he uses a phrase that was used earlier. I am the Alpha and the Omega. Those are the first Greek letter of the alphabet and the last letter of the Greek alphabet. Alpha being first and Omega being last. Then he again states, the Lord Jesus, blessed are those who wash their robes so that they will have a right to the tree of life. If you remember, the reference earlier is where they washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. Crimson red to become pure white through the death of Jesus Christ. He says, I am the root, I am the descendant of David, I am the bright morning star. The Spirit, as well as the bride being the church, if you know what the book of Revelation says, we, the church of Jesus Christ, are the bride, okay? And everyone who hears says, come on, come on! You don't see that too often in weddings because we count up the dollars, how much this is gonna cost me? If that's $50 a head, can I afford this? Or $100 a head? No, but God's expansive love brings us in and says, come, and I welcome you. Come. Everybody is thirsty. I will give you water for eternity. One who testifies these things says, I'm coming soon. And then comes the response, amen, which means, even so, Lord, let it happen. Remember Luther's explanation? The Lord's Prayer, come, Lord Jesus. In the Greek, you may have seen it on cards in Christian stores, Maranatha, even so, Lord, come quickly. I dare you to read the headlines and say, oh, Lord, give us another 1,000 years. We'll pull this human problem together. Oh, Lord, give us another 500 years. We'll handle all kinds of ecological issues. Oh, Lord, we need more politics. Give us another 30 years here. No. Even so, Lord, come quickly and deliver us from ourselves. You go over to the gospel text. Jesus praying for we, the church. He prays for something that we used as a study text back in 1983, but the formation of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. As a parish pastor, I needed to take congregations through the study of this Bible passage. We wanted our members to really wrestle with, what does Christ want out of oneness? What is Christian unity? Does that mean we all become Methodists? Does that mean we all become Roman Catholic? Does that mean we heal the wounds of the Reformation? Does that mean something different in God's estimation? At that time in Lutheran history, preceding 1995, for the next 12 years, we dialogued. You know, Lutherans don't do anything fast. So we talked about it. We discussed it. We voted it, and we voted it then. We voted it again. You know, that's that kind of bartering that takes place. And we said, we discern that God wants us to become one Lutheran body. Lutheran Church in America, American Lutheran Church, and the Association of Evangelical Lutheran Churches, which Our Savior and Pilgrim Lutheran were members of. And then we consummated on January 1st, 1987, and became the Evangelical Lutheran Church. Since then, the ELCA has been extremely ecumenical, to say the least. We build bridges, and it doesn't mean we have to merge, we said to one another. Unity is not merger. That's a scary phrase to Lutherans and to a lot of Christians. That means we have to become meaningless just to get along with each other. No. We don't have to be Episcopalian to have fellowship with them. We don't have to be Methodist to have fellowship with them. We don't have to be the Black African Methodist Episcopal Church, the Black congregations. We don't have to be the Reformed churches like them. But we can have fellowship because, here's the key things for Lutherans. Is the gospel of Jesus Christ preached in word and deed by these believers? If so, we can have fellowship. And do they rightly recognize the sacraments? If we do, we're together. We don't have to be identical. That is not what we think God means about unity. Unity is for the sake of the church and the world. And as long as we work in that context, we can have our Lenten luncheons downtown for the old town area. We can get together with people of multiple faiths and not feel guilty. Remember how many of us grew up? You didn't go into another denomination's sanctuary, right? I mean, Catholics were given fear and trembling. Don't you dare go in a Protestant church. And if you were a Protestant, you didn't dare in a Roman Catholic church. Oh, God's going to zap you. And it's like, get over it. The Reformation is done. We are the church in a world that needs the gospel. The denominations are not essential, important, but not meant to exclude us from one another, but to build up the body of Christ. So this is what Jesus stands for. Unity for the sake of proclamation. Unity for the sake of service. These last 4 or 5 years that we've been working with the downtown churches, cross denomination lines, it is incredible. We can really learn from each other, and when we work together, we're all stronger than if we were independent. May God bless the church that Jesus prayed for so that we may become stronger in service to Christ, not for ourselves. So three different movements taking place in the scripture readings, all moved by the Holy Spirit. Make notice of that. Next week, when we come back and celebrate Pentecost, please understand it is the Spirit that gives the church its life, purpose, and meaning. And without that Spirit, we die. Amen. And now may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us, remain with us always. Amen. And we sing our hymn of the day, One Bread, One Body, page 11, please. worship continues as this one body affirms its faith in the creed. Please rise, page 12. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day arose again, he ascended into heaven, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We continue with our prayers as Scott leads us.
Trusting God's promise of a new life, we pray for the renewal of the church, the world, and all of creation. Bless diversity in worship and ministry across all nations and cultures. Unite us in Christ and keep us faithful in our calling to show your love to the world. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Pour out over all the earth the water of life as a gift. Wash the wounds of creation and restore all living things to wholeness. Protect ocean habitats, river ecosystems, and wetlands. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Give a spirit of collaboration to leaders of the nations so that all people know safety, security, and dignity. Heal victims of torture and liberate those who are wrongfully imprisoned or detained. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Come quickly to the aid of your people. Give wisdom and gift of calm to military, prison, hospital, and hospice chaplains who stand as signs of your abiding presence. Refresh all who thirst in love, hope, or healing, especially Sharon Cunningham, Susan Phillips, Jill Harper, Jeff Parker's Uncle David and Tom for health, Michael Quinn, Mike Heinrich, Jared Lucas, Martha Martell, Jerry Willer, Sue Perry, Maria Romp, the passing of Bonnie Sealing, the sister of Sharon Robinson, Stuart Watson, and the passing of Gwen Auten. Lord, be with those serving our nation. Corey Middleton, Tristan Morrison, Jamie Sawyer, Jaron Sawyer, Rob Nolan, and Faye Wright. Be with those returning safely from their service at home and overseas, and those returning to our communities. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Let your word fill our hearts and our homes. Bless all who teach us the faith, pastors and deacons, Sunday school and confirmation teachers, public theologians, mentors, curriculum writers, and publishers. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Hold all the saints in the grace of the Lord Jesus. Sustain weary souls with the promise that the morning star is coming soon to lead us into the light. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. And gracious God, we remember all those thousands of people who have felt the violence and the fury of tornadoes in this last month, over 160 reported tornadoes. We pray, gracious God, in a broken world, we pray for healing and restoration for these individuals and for all people associated with it. And we commend these and all of our prayers to you, O God. Come near to us with your saving help. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord, amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
Also with you.
If you'll please be seated, we receive our gifts which empower the ministry we do bearing Christ's name. Next Sunday, besides being Pentecost Sunday, talking with the parents of graduates who are affiliated with our Savior, we've set up next Sunday as graduation recognition. So following the late service, we will have a congregational meal downstairs. Cheryl and I will provide the KFC treat, and we'll have a cater by KFC for us here at our Savior for their graduation recognition. We'll have a small group who will make us desserts. Otherwise, you don't bring anything. You just come and get a chance to meet our young people. And you already know Jeremy, who is our graduate. So, and if you want to come, Jeremy, bring your wife and daughter and have KFC on us. So feel welcome. You don't have to be in high school. You graduated that a long time ago. Coming up, for the first time in this community in St. Clair County, Habitat for Humanity and the Port Huron Chamber of Commerce has come together to do an event to help this downtown area. You have seen it in the e-letter. You have read it, and you've probably seen it in the community. I don't know if the Times Herald publicizes it, but occasionally they drip a few words about the local community. It's going to be called Rock the Block. It takes place in blocks of Howard and Pine Streets right behind us, or further west than Our Savior. It's in the 900 block. They being Habitat for Humanity and Chamber of Commerce, have bought all the supplies, okay? So if you can do manual labor, they're going to restore the homes of people in this neighborhood. And they're going to do it without charging them. They're low income. And we all know that if property is not cared for, it continues to deteriorate as much as our own homes. And as that deteriorates, so does the base and economic base, and the community changes. So if you want to be something positive, then lend your gifts to this cause. Now, I noticed in last week's Times Herald, if the information is true, we've been asking for 100 volunteers. The Times Herald reported they have overabundance of volunteers. I have never heard of anything that ever had an overabundance of anything that involved human labor. It is a good thing. And any time we can work together to help our neighbor, we are doing God's work too. So just commend that to you in prayer if you cannot physically be here. Radio sponsorship this day is sponsored by one of our anonymous donors in memory of parents as well as a brother who has preceded them in death. There is a coffee hour today as well. And then people were remarking about the flower bouquet in front of the baptismal font. I grew them in my yard just this last week, and I lie often even in church. This is from the funeral memorial service for Bonnie Sealing. And well, a member of Pilgrim Lutheran, they've been here for Christmas Eve for 26 years here at 4 p.m. every year to celebrate the Nativity of our Lord. Well, as she was dying last month, I was invited in because they were without a called pastor to offer pastoral care, which I gladly did up at Regency. So I did the memorial service yesterday. And they had requested not much benefit, but because Bonnie loved cats, Carl, I thought I'd get your attention with this. She had three cats surviving her. She never got married, never had children, but she loved her cats throughout her lifetime. She was a school teacher for over 40 years. Okay. And she's the daughter, as are the other two siblings, Tom, who's over in Lansing, and then her sister Sharon down at Pilgrim. They're PKs. Their father was a Missouri Synod pastor who came to service last year in Metro Detroit. They've been in Chicago. They move around like the military, you know, PKs. And just really a neat gal and the whole family system. And those are the easy ones to work with because they already start with, these are the Lutheran hymns we want to sing. Okay, so what I did, you know me, I just like to stir the pot. The first hymn was For All the Saints Who From Their Labors Rest. Most of you know that? Okay, All Saints Day hymn. Some of you weren't raised Lutheran. But I asked that group, congregation of them, I said, how many of you never heard this before? And they timidly raised their hand. I said, well, get ready for the rest of the service. It's Lutheran. Because that's definitely a part of the Lutheran experience for All Saints Day. So it just was a glorious thing. It was a celebration of life, and it truly was for Bonnie. While she did not have birth children, you know as a teacher, you have gobs of children. Kids that you have made a significant influence in their life. So she did too. Our worship continues as our gifts are presented. If you didn't get your newsletter, they're back there. Every week we mail the e-letter. Just give us your email. Worship continues. Gifts are presented. We sing Now the Silence. Please rise.
Risen One, as you broke the bread with the disciples on the shore, meet us now at this meal. Nourish us to follow you, using our gifts to feed the hungry and tend to the weary, and all for your love's sake.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We give thanks to the Lord.
And let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and he gave thanks. He broke it, he gave it to his disciples. He said, "Take and eat, for this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the meal was over, he took a cup of wine and he gave thanks. He gave it for all to drink and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. It's given and shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." So it's with this bread, it's with this cup, we remember our Lord's Passover from death to life as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. So let us pray as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, gives everyone a place at the welcome table. Alleluia. Come to the feast. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. During the distribution, we sing. You'll be guided up by the deacons. Scott, the body of our Lord, given for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you, Scott. Take a drink. In our Lord's peace, God. Amen. Welcome to the Lord's table. Body of Christ for you, Judy. Body of our Lord for you, Katie. Body of Christ for you. This is Christ's body for you, Judy. Kathy, Christ's body for you. Body of Christ for you, Doug. Body of Christ for you, Dennis. Tina, Christ's body for you. Body of Christ for you. and cake, Christ's body for you. Take and drink. Depart in our Lord's peace. Amen. Welcome, Lori. Welcome, Carl. Welcome. Lori, Christ's body for you. Carl, the body of Christ for you. Christ's body for you, Jane. The body of our Lord for you. Christ's body for you, Marcia. Body of our Lord for you.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church. Begins each Sunday at 8:30 here on WPHM, Port Huron.